This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello. Hey, Jim. We're here again.
Have you broken all of your New Year's resolutions yet?
No, honestly, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I want to do for the new year, really. I have a couple things, but...
I haven't started this one with real firm plans. I've kind of...
Yeah.
I want to study them for a while.
Exactly. That's me. I'm studying them.
I do want to thank everybody who helped out with our kind of year-end appeal here. Catholic Radio is listener-supported. It does depend on contributions from listeners like you to stay on the air. And a couple of times a year, we have a mailing that we send out, and people really stepped up to the plate this time and helped out to a great degree. So we want to thank everybody that did that. If you've still got that bright yellow envelope kicking around your house, maybe sitting on your dresser or your kitchen counter or wherever it might be, it's not too late. You can use that bright yellow envelope to send a contribution to help keep Catholic Radio on the air. If you didn't get a letter from us, well, you don't have a yellow envelope then.
No.
But you can go to our website, Catholic Radio Indy, and make a donation there. And we certainly do appreciate everybody that has done that and everybody that will be doing that and everybody that supports us year-round.
Well, we are going to be talking about, you know, it is still the new year, and as I mentioned, you know, I'm still coming up with my objectives for 2020. But today we are going to be talking about mental health and what you can do in the new year to improve yours. I mean, it's always a topic or an area where anybody can improve. So today we're going to be talking with Dr. John Cadwalder, and he is of the Central Psychological Services and a practicing therapist psychologist. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and we talked about, we were on here not too long ago talking mm-hmm. about the One in Christ marriage preparation. So if you recognize Dr. John's voice, that's why.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, okay, so what is mental health? I mean, how is that really defined, and why is it important for us to pay attention to it?
The way I look at mental health is more in the sense of a continuum. So there's always really a level of growth. I think some of the concern that people have is more the sense of illness, but I would view that more in the sense of health. So if it's something where, you know, physically, spiritually, we can always do better, I don't see why it's any different from mental health. I think within that, it's also a sense of what is our self-awareness? Like, who are we? Who is God asking us to be? What are our relationships like? Do we integrate our emotions? Are we afraid of them? Do they tend to rule or govern in terms of what happens in more of a reactive kind of way? So it's really this importance of knowing who we are and how we actually integrate this health in relationships with self, others, and God. And I think the mental health is, you know, physical and spiritual health too, is one level of gift we can offer to others. I mean, those that have a married vocation, we offer that to our spouse. I mean, certain children or friends or family, parents. You know, if we're called to ordain life, you know, how are we serving other people too? So, you know, if grace is built on nature, it's kind of a question of what is the level of health of our nature.
Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing, you mentioned a continuum from mental health. Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing as that middle mark that, okay, there's normal and deviations both directions, or is there no, can you not define normal?
Well, that's a question I get a lot. I think, you know, it really is what
Am
is
I
normal.
Am I normal?
Right. Well, in normalcy.
No.
Jim, you're not supposed to answer that question. Well, neither one of us are normal, right, Jim? Why would we be doing radio if we were normal, right?
Well, and I kind of get the question of where, not necessarily when I actually am working with people, but like giving talks, you know, do you think I'm crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's crazy to some degree, you know, which is part of our uniqueness and how that's interesting. I think when we tend to get into troubles, we don't acknowledge that we're at least a little bit crazy.
Well, that's a good point to think about. So let me ask you this. Now, we're just coming off the, you know, the holidays, which, you know, can be a very stressful time for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an uptick of mental health issues around this time of the year, or maybe just coming off the holidays or the holiday season in general, or what?
You know, our group has been open for probably, I think, about 13 years now. I used to see a lot of spikes this time of year, more calls, more referrals. I've started to see that changes a little bit, even leading up to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I think partly why this time of year that things tend to ramp up is people may have been thinking about seeing some kind of psychologist or some kind of therapist. Sometimes it's an issue of priority. I mean, so it could be, in all honesty, I want to provide for my family for Christmas, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wait and see. Sometimes we have situations where being with families kind of starts to bring up things they forget about, too. It could be finances brings about stress and things like that as well. But even sometimes New Year's resolutions, this may have been something, you know, where people put this off for months or sometimes even years. And what I find with people is that I haven't met anyone who actually wants to see a psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So typically it's something where by the time they come, they may have exhausted other kinds of options too. Whether it's just, you know, thinking about it, avoiding it, trying to deal with it on their own. Maybe they've talked to a priest or pastor who's recommended this and they've kind of put it off. So for whatever reason, they may get that nudge to come in.
So we're talking with Dr. John Cadwalder, and he is of the Central Psychological Services. So tell us a little bit about your practice and just briefly what you do for anyone listening who might want to come there for help. And I also want to ask you about the stigma. Is there still a stigma?
Sure.
So first talk about your practice, and then we'll talk about, is there still a stigma of getting help?
So we're a group that's located in the south side of Indianapolis. We're just south of 465, right, just 10 minutes south of downtown. When I developed this group, my you know, what I was led to in prayer was having more of a lifespan perspective. So we'd have an all-Catholic group that basically treats children to older adults.
Mm-hmm.
So what's unique about our group is that we're all Catholic in terms of all the staff. We actually integrate Catholic anthropology into the work if people are open to that. We respect their freedom, but that's still something where people know up front in terms of who we are. And we work with it could vary in the sense of, you know, different stages or ages in the lifespan. We do individual therapy. We do some couples work too, marriage therapy. We also do some group therapy too, family work. And some of the things that I do unique as a psychologist is I also do a fair amount of psychological assessment, which could be people who have more complex kinds of problems, which really kind of helps as much as I can, kind of like a mental x-ray, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, metaphorically, to kind of cut to the chase and really understand more clearly what's going on. And I also do a fair amount of work, you know, for our local church too, in seminary at Bishop Routte, so I may do some seminary assessments as well.
Okay. Now, is there a stigma still, or is that less of a thing now in terms of seeking mental health? I mean, if mm-hmm. you sprain your ankle, people don't hesitate to go mm-hmm. to the doctor, or, you know, if they injure themselves in some way physically, it's like, I gotta call the eye doctor or gotta do this. Why is it seems like there's less of an incentive or willingness to do that when you have like a mental health issue?
You know,
is that true? Or
it is true, and I've kind of seen a trend about the last 20 years of work that I've done. I used to specialize in geropsychology, which is just work with older adults.
Okay.
A lot of the World War II generation or Great Depression generation, there was a true fear of anything mental health related because literally during their time, you know, the guys in white coats would come and take them away.
Mm, yeah.
So some of that was grit, tough times, tough people. I've seen more of where the baby boomers are a little bit more open, but there's still a lot of ambivalence or kind of hesitant with that. Millennials tend to be more open to that as well. Part of the stigma, though, I think, is the awareness of where there's a fine line between humility and humiliation. And that when people come, as I mentioned before, there has to be a sense of humility because most cases they've exhausted all their options.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't take that lightly. I think it takes a lot of courage, again, a lot of humility to actually recognize that they're suffering and they're struggling enough that they need some level of help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because most people will tend to value, you know, medical health, physical health, things like that for a number of reasons, but mental health tends to be avoided. The problem with that is that it lacks really this relationship between, you know, mind, body, and soul. So ideally, we want all three of those to be healthy. If one of those is healthy, it'll affect the other two positively. If one is suffering or neglected, it's going to affect the other two negatively.
Now, I want to ask you this question. I may have asked you this before, but if you are Catholic, how important is it to go to a psychologist or seek help from a Catholic practice or someone that's coming from that perspective? I mean, I personally think it is valuable,
mm-hmm.
But what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's absolutely important. I think in the sense of priority, the best situation to someone who's an Orthodox, Orthodox Catholic who's also clinically competent. I think if you can't find that, and for whatever reason, there's some limitations of finding, you know, Catholic therapists who actually bring those two realms together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's trying to find someone next who is clinically competent but is still respectful of the faith. They don't impose their own beliefs or values, because there's a lot of danger in that,
mm-hmm.
most in the sense of people who are coming in a vulnerable state.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be led a lot of directions. And then I think it just kind of goes down from there. So I think the most ideal to probably, you know, whatever's the most manageable.
Now, just a minute or so ago, you mentioned the fear of, you know, the white coat doctors coming mm-hmm. and taking you away. And that is a thing of the past. But there used to be places that those people with severe mental problems would end up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of those facilities have been closed. So what happens to somebody that comes and say, well, this person really has some issues, talk to them for a little while, send them home and come back in a week? Or,
well, I think as most things, you know, exercise, faith, etc., mental health is similar, that there's a sense of rhythm, there's a sense of commitment, there's a sense of pace. And I think, you know, much as we, you know, go to Mass minimally on Sunday, we may go and exercise a few days a week. What's pretty common with us is we work with people once a week. That's kind of like the general practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there may be some exceptions where we meet more often and, you know, sometimes even less often too. Mm-hmm. People tend to minimize what they really need. Some of it is because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is just the concern of what they're going to potentially get into.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed a lot historically over the years in terms of more of like the days of formal institutions
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. is psychoactive medications. Mm. So some people have been able to treat some symptoms, you know, which do have, you know, severe mental illness, and are able to live a full or more active life than they used to.
Are there still facilities that full-time institutions, so to speak, that people who can't cope have available to them?
There are. And I think what is the most common is it something where they may go in for more of an inpatient stay. This could be something very short term. There are those exceptions which are outliers in the sense of where they may need to have more of a long-term kind of placement. That's, again, the exception, not the rule. Part of the problem with that is that there's a lot of reasons or challenges as far as placement. Can people find facilities? They don't really exist that much anymore, too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, is that really what's best for them and their health?
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, probably the prisons end up kind of fulfilling that role in a very negative way?
I think so. And it's partly the problem of where there is a high prevalence of mental illness in forensic or, you know, prison kinds of settings.
And that was before, was it before they went or after they went? Because it can get worse.
Probably all the above.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, facilities actually have psychologists and therapists available. But it's something where there's a lot of complications as far as what makes that challenging.
Mm.
And some of that is, you know, those who are in those kinds of settings, usually more temporary, like jails, I mean, have a lot of challenges. People ask me, though, like in terms of, you know, they may make snarky remarks or questions as far as, you know, how are the crazy people, you know, who are you working with? What I tell them is that, you know, much as we've talked about today, you know, this is health, but part of it is these are people that sit next to you in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a sense of exception and, you know, something which is radical. These are people who just want to be well. And partly, I think, when people make those kinds of comments, it actually reinforces the stigma, which will keep people alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about making great New Year's resolutions for living a good mental health in the new year, right?
Sounds right.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then, below that, in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley is with me in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Dr. John Cadwalder, who is of the Central Psychological Services on the south side of Indianapolis, right?
That's right. Thanks for having me.
And we are talking about mental health in the new year and how to improve yours. So let me ask you this. Is it good to have resolutions or New Year's resolutions? So let's start there.
I think it depends of really what is the nature of why people want to have resolutions. So it's a start of a new year. That's time where people typically pause and reflect the previous year and the current year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to know why people actually want to set these kinds of goals. What people are typically seeking is hope.
Mm.
They
mm-hmm.
want to have a sense of escape or of leaving something behind.
I'd like to leave some weight behind.
Well, I mean, so physical health is important too. But it's kind of a sense of where, goals can be good, but people need to understand why they're seeking goals.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they think that the goal can actually be a distraction from people in a positive and negative way, some of which is it kind of gives them a sense of motivation, mm-hmm. Which can be good. But some of it may give them a sense of false hope that this is going to be corrective of all the concerns that mm-hmm. I have. And what I tell people, one of the common, goals people have this time of year, I want to lose weight, or mm-hmm. I want to exercise. And inevitably, people are going to, slip up, they're going to have a bad day, they're going to have some sense of exception. And there's something which is called trans-theoretical stages of change, and partly that is trying to see where people are in the sense of their goal developments or resolutions. I mean, are they considering in terms of are they planning this? Are they at a stage of where they're actually starting to prepare for it? Sometimes people make these goals New Year's Eve, so it doesn't mean they're necessarily very well prepared for it to be successful. And then do they get a stage of action where they're actually doing something? Ideally, what we want is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes, habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which takes a long period of time. But inevitably, even if we get to a kind of a stage of maintenance we're trying to maintain, people slip up. And I think what people, tend to do is they become very self-critical.
Mm-hmm.
How could I do that? It's kind of why even try, because I've already done this. I'm just going to go ahead and finish all the Oreos
mm-hmm.
instead of just having one because I've already blown it for today.
Yeah.
So I think this idea of coming back in the sense of fresh eyes, each day holds new hope, and they have to recommit to it again and be patient.
Well, what are some of the things that people can do that we can all do to improve our mental health? Because no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. We all have areas that we can work on. What are some tips that you have for all of our listeners to do in the new year to kind of improve our mental health?
I think one question to ask yourself is, what emotions am I feeling now? We tend to be very reactive or very familiar in terms of what we do, but we don't necessarily ask the question as to why. So is it something where do we pause? Do we get a sense of even physically, are we feeling our emotions? Where do we notice that in our body? Why am I feeling these emotions? It just maybe I'm angry, at my spouse, my kids are acting up. It just becomes more of the script, that we actually play. But trying to understand, and I think Catholics in particular have a really hard time with anger. So some of that is...
How so? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that people tend to Catholics particularly have a lot of fear, and what I would call even at times unhealthy guilt, that if I become angry, that's something which is disordered or bad.
Mm.
What I often tell people is going back scripturally to Christ cleansing the temple.
Mm-hmm, that's what I was thinking. So that's where I was going.
Well, and I don't believe, you can ask God, but it's kind of where I don't think he was just doing that for some sense of pedagogy. He's trying to teach us what's going on. He was fully human and divine. He was angry.
Yeah.
So if God mm-hmm. has a full range of emotions, then I don't think we need more permission than that. Anger, though, I think, to reassure the listeners, often has more to do with the sense of protection. So there's something, some kind of nerve or something that's hit within us where anger is a way that we tend to push back. And, how rational or irrational isn't necessarily the question, but we need to ask ourselves in terms of, what is the origin? I think in other ideas is, what is our capacity to be able to give and receive love? What kind of intimacy do we have in our human and spiritual relationships too? Do we have, any sense of, effects or the past wounds, that affect us now? We tend to focus a lot on now, but a quick example of that is what I tell people. If you think about when you're driving your car, a couple things about that. When people tend to get depressed or anxious about things, it's the same where they keep looking back and they ruminate. It would be like you driving your car, look in the rearview mirror the entire time. What's going to happen? You're going to crash your car.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest piece of glass is your windshield. And the thing is, which is the importance of now? It's good to glance back to see where you've been, to check your side mirrors and see what's around you peripherally. But the thing that's most important is right ahead of you. And that helps you to be able to use your free will to act now.
And talk about being in the present moment, because I think that's kind of a spiritual thing that can really help people, you know, be present to other people, to be present to what they're feeling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you ever talk about that in terms of mental health?
I do. I think one of the biggest fallacies that we have as human beings is that we think we're in more control than we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whether that has a lot to do with worry, sometimes it has a lot to do with sadness or loss, sometimes even grief, et cetera, too, where it's a sense of where we think all these things that we have to do and we become so preoccupied with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Jesus clearly states that is not what we're to do. I mean, we need to be like children. And if you think about that and the simplicity of that, children completely trust their parents. You know, those that have healthy relationships, that's the goal I think that we're all called to be. So we tend to distract ourselves with a lot of things that are unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. We could do a whole show on distractions. But, okay, I want to ask about weather and self-care. And then, Jim, I know you got a question. We're going to run out of time. We got 6 minutes.
So this is a time of year where
it's dreary.
It is dreary.
Cold.
Cold. It's a time where, you know, maybe nice to move to Florida.
Yeah.
So part of the challenge is that it's common for people to have seasonal patterns to their mood or sometimes even seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
As it begins this time of year, it coincides with, you know, limited daylight. We may become more sedentary. There's changes in weather. There's a lot of reasons why that happens. But when we start to notice changes in our eating, our mood, sleep, maybe we have less energy, or we're kind of grumpy, we have to get a sense of where everyone may act a little bit different this time of the year, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that's disordered. But if it comes to the point where you don't really feel like yourself and it's really keeping you from being able to function, sometimes that's a sign that there maybe is a potential of something more.
I just think everybody feels better when it's a sunny, warm day, you know, mm-hmm. unless they're boiling, you know, unless they're boiling. Okay, so what about self-care? How important is that as it relates to mental health?
I think it's absolutely important.
What is that, I guess?
Well,
people maybe not know.
And there's a bit of a range, I think, for sure. I think it's something where our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of a question of how do we take care of that temple? How do we give the best home we can for God? Part of that, I think, is our mental health. So it's something where are we, you know, being physically, mentally, spiritually active? Are we trying to be healthy? Are we trying to focus on a sense of health? And I think, you know, certainly the pecking order is, you know, we're trying to focus on, you know, our faith relationships and also how, again, nature supports that too.
Jim, go ahead.
I was thinking of a question and just wondering what effect on mental health, kind of the social intolerance that we have today. Everything is so divisive today, whether it's political, religious, whether it's any issue that you can have. There's no, I mean, you're 100% wrong, I'm 100% right, no matter which side of the issue you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, everything just seems to be becoming so intolerant. You know, even things, I guess road rage would almost fall in there, that you drive the way I want you to drive or, you know, I'm going to get you. What effect does that have on people's mental state?
It puts us on the defense quite often. Sometimes it even creates a sense of paranoia of where we act as if we're God in some ways, a sense of omnipotence. So we create the worldview and then we're 100% right all the time. Being in a fallen state, that's an impossibility. I mean, so there's a sense of knowledge and truth and goodness. But one of the challenges we have is that there's an intolerance to actually even be able to minimally agree to disagree. If we lose the ability to have conversation as far as learning from both sides, or even disagreeing with that too, we get a sense of what's called psychologically groupthink. What that means is we tend to polarize to just one extreme, and the fallacy of where, you know, what is the illusion has to be the reality. Quick example of that is, you know, 600 years ago, people believed the world was flat.
Mm-hmm.
But objectively, it was round. It was always round. That was the way that God created it. So even though people may live as if it's flat, it's indeed round. So having those kinds of discussions is a good way of understanding more.
I thought that was a great question, because I think live in fear. It's like you can't even say anything on social media, or even maybe in your family, because they're just going to be just major backlash, you know?
Or you're afraid to put a political sign in your yard or sticker on your car because you feel that way and you want to express that, but you're afraid just because of this.
Well, and that kind of fear, I mean, I think fear doesn't come from God, but we're really talking about persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is, as Catholics, as human beings, is that, you know, it's really what do you actually defend or protect in terms of what is good, true, and beautiful.
So when should a person seek professional help?
I think it's something where if they don't feel like themselves in some ways, that could be a lot of different things in terms of they may have struggles in relationships. They may have, you know, a sense of their emotions are more intense. Maybe they're noticing they're becoming more detached. It could be they're acting out or their behaviors are different than what's typical or maybe worse, whether it's like binge eating, it could be drinking, drugs, spending, gambling, shopping, you know, pornography. And then there's also people, too, who want to come in just because they have a desire to grow. And I think all are welcome in that regard.
And what about if you know someone or there is a loved one that you would like them to get help? How do you go about doing that, whether they're a minor child or they're someone in your family, or how do you go about that?
I would be gentle about it because it's something where people view that as criticism.
Mm-hmm.
People generally don't want to hear about the board in their own eye, so to speak, even though we're looking for splinters.
Exactly.
So we have to be patient, and a lot of that too is prayer as well. We need God's help.
So if people want to find your practice or get connected with you, do you ever go speak to parishes or anything like that?
I do. I speak to parishes, just a lot of different mediums, certainly the one in Christ, too, that we talked about. People can find our group at centralpsychservices.com, or they're welcome to call 317-780-1610.
Now, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
No, I personally choose not to subscribe to that a whole lot. I try and think about that throughout the year.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to wait when there's only one day of the year to begin. Every day is a chance to start new.
Every day is a new day of hope, right?
That's right.
Well, our guest today has been Dr. John Cadwalder of the Central Psychological Services. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
God bless you.
You too.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.